This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, June 7th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. It's great to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I hope you had a great and a very blessed weekend if you were able to take part in a Corpus Christi procession in your parish or hometown. That would have been a tremendous blessing. There's always a lot to talk about here on Monday mornings, and as we start the week coming up this Friday, in case you missed it, we're going to talk about, Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, followed the next day by the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we'll talk about it here on the show. Last Friday, Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone of San Francisco said that there must be a major effort to re-catechize Catholics on the Eucharist and worthiness to receive Holy Communion, something that the USCCB will address in their upcoming spring meeting next week. Now, here on Morning Air, we try to get off to a good start each day with a short prayer, giving thanks to the good Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by international Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina to discuss why we should really get to know and understand the writings of the early church fathers. Who were these early church fathers? A little bit later, award-winning American poet Annabel Mosley will help us to better understand true devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in anticipation of the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which is coming up this Friday. And Father Paul Canariato will share how to consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. All this and more. We'll also have a Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner a little bit later in the show. Now, one thing that I'm passionate about is the Word of God. For us Catholics, meditating on Scripture is an absolute must if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to know the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why every day we feature a power Scripture from the Playbook of Life, because the Word of God is powerful. Our power Scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. As Catholic Christians, we need to always be prepared to give a reasoned explanation for what we believe and why we believe it. In everyday life, there's going to undoubtedly be situations where someone asks you, why do you believe that Mary is the Mother of God, or that the Eucharist is more than just a mere symbol? We need to be ready to be able to answer with charity and clarity, with gentleness and respect from whoever challenges us about our faith. Know our faith, know the Scripture, know tradition and what the Catechism teaches, but always do it with respect. We need to have that kind of attitude anytime we answer any brother or sister that asks us a question about what we believe. And we always pray, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, here in the month of June, we celebrated the feast of St. Justin Martyr just last week, and St. Irenaeus is coming up later at the end of the month. As Catholics, we have a treasure trove of teachings from the church fathers in the first centuries of the church. But what exactly did these fathers believe in those first early centuries about the Holy Eucharist, about the papacy, about the Holy Scriptures, about our Blessed Mother? When evangelicals read the Fathers of the Church, many become Catholic because the primitive church was Catholic, as we see especially in the Acts of the Apostles and in the first centuries. Now joining us here on Morning Air from St. Augustine, Florida, to talk about the early church fathers is the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com and Prepare the Way, international bilingual evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, who has served as director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of San Antonio, Washington, D.C., and Denver, and has preached in various countries on three continents. Good morning, Martha. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you again.
Good morning. Great to be with you as well, John.
Martha, first of all, what do we mean when we talk about the early church?
We're talking about the very first disciples that followed Christ and the disciples of the disciples. So the apostles, what they laid down as the foundation, as the Holy Spirit through Pentecost imbued them with that power from on high, the Holy Spirit imbued them with wisdom, and they understood fully, more fully than they had until then, all that Christ had begun to teach them. And then what they taught to their disciples who became the next bishops and so forth. In other words, that which was from the very beginning handed down or traditioned from one disciple to the next. And that early church would then be that first century or two, and the church fathers would be those fathers in the faith, those disciples of the apostles and the disciples of the disciples of the apostles within those first 8 centuries. And they're divided into various categories that people have to understand them on the east and the west and the first couple of centuries and the next and so forth.
And some of these early church fathers were literally disciples of the actual apostles, like St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple and a contemporary of the apostle St. John.
That's correct. St. Clement of Rome, for example, would have succeeded St. Peter. St. Ignatius of Antioch, as you said, would have succeeded St. John, would have been one of his disciples. St. Polycarp is in the same direct line there with St. John the Apostle, and then after him, St. Irenaeus and so forth. And as you said, St. Justin Martyr, whom we spoke about last week. And their defense of the faith is so important because much of what they teach, John, we see today, in fact, the way that, say, St. Justin and Martyr described the Mass, it's exactly what you and I celebrated yesterday and will today. So it's a beautiful thing because these are fathers in the faith, those men with whom or on whom God entrusted a special mission to impart to us the teachings of Christ, to educate us, to form us, to catechize us. In fact, St. Paul, we see, who is not, of course, one of these fathers of the church that we're talking about, but in his scriptures in the New Testament, he says that he is a father to those that he is discipling, that they were his spiritual children, like Timothy, for example. And so we see that these fathers are taking care of the family of faith. The early church understood that we are a family of faith. And so they were explaining the faith. They were instituting deacons in the early church. For example, we see that already in the New Testament, how already deacons and presbyters and bishops, the whole hierarchy of the church, and all that we've come to understand from the very beginning, or much of it, and the Holy Spirit has then, through the development of doctrine, has been teaching us more and more, and we've been understanding throughout the centuries more and more the deposit of faith, however, we have from that very early church and these fathers of the church. And when I say the deposit of faith, the church uses that term to encompass the riches, all that the Lord entrusted to the apostles, and that faith that comes to us from the apostles is found there. Most of it, it's not in explicitly, at least, the kernel, the seeds are there, that apostolic tradition that we follow, along with sacred scripture. We follow the sacred tradition of the church and the teachings of the authentic magisterium of the church through the popes as successors of Peter. So we see there that we are, this is what's so exciting to me about it, is that we are in the tradition, in the line of the apostles who received it from the Lord, and we are right there alongside those first men and women who were known, and we see in sacred scripture, as the followers of the way, the followers of the Nazarene of Jesus. And it's a great tradition to be part of.
We're talking with Martha Fernandez-Sardina, a Catholic evangelist. We're discussing the early church fathers, why it's important for us to know our family of faith, the early church fathers and what they taught. What do we mean when we talk about the patristic era of the church?
Well, precisely the fathers are that era, the patristic fathers, they have been divided in between, they can be understood, some people will say three periods, some people say four periods, the apostolic fathers, the anti-Nicene and the post-Nicene, and it's not anti that they're against it, but A-N-T-E, before the Nicene, the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene Creed, and the post-Nicene fathers. Some others divided in four groups, the first and second century would be the apostolic fathers. Others speak in then second and third century, the defenders of the faith, the apologist fathers. And then third and fourth, or fourth and fifth century would be more the age, the golden age, that would fall into that area after the Nicene Creed in that area, in that period of history. And then the last fathers would be those centuries of five through eight, and those are also that sometimes are divided between the fathers in the West and the East, or the Greek and the Latin fathers. And there's a richness of faith, and we receive from them even the principles of the liturgy, the way we celebrate the liturgy today, as I mentioned. And we see there the unity of the faith. And these fathers of the patristic era had at least four characteristics that were understood by everyone to be those by which they were understood to be these great fathers of the church, which, by the way, John, several of those then are also doctors of the church. They have been considered by the church and named doctors of the church because of the depth of their teaching and how crucial their teaching is. But those four marks that are usually attributed to those that are understood or distinguished as church fathers would be antiquity. In other words, they go back to, as I said, the apostles and the first disciples of the apostles. Secondly, the universal orthodoxy of their doctrine, that it was something that was understood by all in that time as coming from our Lord for the church. Thirdly, that they had an approval. They were approved. There was a consent, if you will, by all, that it was understood by all that these were authentic teachers of the faith and authentic fathers in the faith. And fourthly, and this is very important for you and for me, for all of us, even in our day-to-day life, the authenticity of a life of holiness, their sanctity of life, was also a sign that these were men that the Lord had chosen to be fathers in the faith to us all.
And these holy men, these great early church leaders, had a lot to write about. The early church fathers had a lot to say about the Blessed Mother, about the papacy, about salvation, the Holy Trinity. And especially what impresses me is what they wrote about the Holy Eucharist, as we celebrated yesterday, the solemnity of Corpus Christi. St. Ignatius of Antioch wrote around in 110, I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, and for drink I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible. I mean, powerful words by St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Yes, today, sometimes we see groups, not just today, but for the last 500 years and more, and even in the early church, which is why they were there also, to defend us and defend the faith, to keep the deposit of faith against splits, sects, heresies, schisms, and so forth. And so we see that even today, sometimes people will go off after anyone who proclaims himself to be a father in the faith or a prophet or a self-appointed bishop. We can't do that. St. Ignatius of Antioch, whom you just mentioned, he in his letter to the Smyrians, he says, that was A.D. 107. That's how far back we go, the year 107. He says, let no one do anything of concern to the church without the bishop. That's why we should be praying, by the way, for our bishops every single day, for your own bishop and all bishops, including the Bishop of Rome. He said, let that be considered a valid Eucharist, which is celebrated by the bishop or by one whom he ordains, that is a presbyter. Wherever the bishop appears, let the people be there, just as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. So when we have those writings that go that far back and connect the presence of Jesus with the presence of the church and the presence of the bishop or the presbyter and the Eucharist together, we know that we are in a good family line, in a good apostolic tradition. There is so much that we could say about the fathers of the church.
We've just begun.
About it.
Absolutely. Martha, believe me, this is a big, big topic. But it's great to put it in perspective. Especially the day after the Feast of Corpus Christi, to remember this family of faith that we have, this rich tradition. And thank you so much for helping us to even think about the early church fathers, the importance for us in this day and age.
You're very welcome. And anybody who wants to follow me can find me at MarthaFernandezSardina.com or at RememberYouAreLoved.com. And John, remember, you are loved.
Thank you. You are loved as well. Martha Fernandez-Sardina, international evangelist and the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Annabelle Mosley, who will share her insights on monthly devotions in June to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
23 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Monday, June 7th. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's great to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up on Morning Air this hour, Father Paul Canariato will share how to consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner a little bit later in the show. So June is a month in which we celebrate fathers, with Father's Day coming up in this month. And in the Catholic Church, we have inspiring fatherly saints and heart-centered devotions customized especially during these days of June. Now joining us to share some great ideas on celebrating the saints here in June is Annabelle Mosley, award-winning American poet, professor of theology, and the author of 11 books, including Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. Good morning, Annabelle. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's good to be with you for the first time as the new host of this show.
Oh, good morning, John. I'm honored. It's a joy to be with you.
Annabelle, why is June such a great month to celebrate saints and devotions?
Oh, you know, June is such a beautiful month in that the Catholic Church, of course, is officially dedicated to the Sacred Heart for the month of June. And as you eloquently said before, John, you know, this month is really famous for celebrating dads on Father's Day. But it's also the month in the Catholic Church in which so many fatherly saints appear. And, you know, with this heart-centered devotion of the Sacred Heart, it's just perfectly suited to honoring the most perfect maternal heart, that of our Lord.
Well, we have the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart coming up this coming Friday, and the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary the very next day on Saturday. Please tell us a little bit about your book, Our House of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, 33-Day Consecration. It really is perfect timing here in the month of June.
Oh, sure. So I have a new book, Our House of the Sacred Heart, and it's just filled with prayers and stories, reflections, beautiful art also. And it's a handbook, really, for living life in the Sacred Heart and guiding the reader to see their own particular life as filled with signs leading to Jesus's heart. So there's that old familiar expression, you know, the one they say, home is where the heart is. But I ask, well, whose heart? Home is where the Sacred Heart is.
I love it. Why is it important to consecrate ourselves for a period of time, for 33 days, as you show us in your book?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, in my book, what I did was I based it on the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus has 33 lines, right? Just like one line for each year of his precious life. And actually, if you go to tourguideofwonder.com, I offer daily emails for free each day of the consecration. And you get prayers, reflections, beautiful works of art, even music, and a podcast, just brief, like 9 to 14 minutes, kind of a guided devotion sent to your inbox. And you know what it does is it's just like his 33 years of life. We have those 33 days preparing our hearts to bring joy to his heart. And in so doing, of course, that also brings joy to Mother Mary's heart.
Without a doubt, and I don't think it's a coincidence that our Catholic Church has these feasts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary, back-to-back this Friday and Saturday.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful. And, you know, their hearts are so bonded, mother and son. There's even that wonderful, I love that expression in our church. They call their hearts the twin hearts. It's just so sweet. And to have the two in a row like that, wow, we have a lot to look forward to on Friday and Saturday of this week.
What if we've already consecrated ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Would you say it's a good idea to reconsecrate, to do it again?
Yes, and I love that question. What an important question. So yes, think of the consecration as a really beautiful way of saying, I love you to Jesus, a way to say, I give you my heart. I want to be closer to your heart. Can we ever say I love you, right, too much to our beloved? We really can't. So we get so many graces from repeating that, from consecrating ourselves. I have in the place where I pray, I keep the consecration prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I do renew it from time to time. Because as you read those words, like one of the lines says, this is my unchanging purpose, to be all his, to do all things for the love of him. It's just a renewal of our love. How beautiful is that?
We're joined by Annabelle Mosley, professor of theology, author of Sacred Bail, talking about four ways to honor saints and devotions here in the month of June in your home. Moving on, the next great feast is coming up on June 13th, St. Anthony of Padua. Can you give us a little thumbnail on St. Anthony?
Oh, sure. Well, St. Anthony is famous, of course, for being the patron saint of lost items. But not everyone always knows that St. Anthony was also known for his excellence in preaching the faith. So if you ever need help defending the faith with your words, I recommend whispering a quick prayer to St. Anthony, and he'll get you through every time.
Now, in some countries, in some cultures, the folks, our Catholic brothers and sisters really go all out in celebrating the Feast of St. Anthony. I think particularly in Portugal, it's a really big deal, the Feast of St. Anthony. How can St. Anthony help us in everyday life?
Oh, you're right. It's big. And it's so much fun and such a joy in our Catholic faith when we have these wonderful traditions. So one traditional way to celebrate our finder of lost things in the kitchen, to celebrate St. Anthony, we can bake some St. Anthony bread. If you do a web search, it's really fun. Do a web search for St. Anthony bread, and you're going to get so many recipes. But really, any kind of baked bread will do. You can have fun with your family doing this. But the story goes that once there was this little child that drowned, and the mother begged St. Anthony that if her child was saved, she'd donate an equal amount of bread, equal to the child's weight, to the poor. So to this day, there's this tradition that those who love St. Anthony kind of circle the date on their calendar, and they either bake bread and give it to the poor, or they just, you know, it's a great day to stock your local church food pantry with some canned goods in honor of St. Anthony.
I love it. St. Anthony bread. This sounds like the type of celebration and tradition that we can pass on and share with our kids.
Oh, definitely. It's so much fun. It's a great day to bake some St. Anthony bread with the kids and distribute loaves or rolls. You can kind of make a fun outing of it, you know, bake some bread and then get in the car and drop it off at, you know, at the door of a few people that you know that could use a boost. Or again, you could round up the kids and have them help you to drop off some canned food to your parish center.
And later on in the month, on June 24th, we have the Feast of St. John the Baptist, this great saint, this precursor of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who was out in the desert preparing the way for the Lord. How can this saint draw us closer to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes. Well, this awesome saint doesn't draw the kind of attention he always should, does he, considering how important he is in Scripture? He's so important that Jesus said, truly, there has been no one greater than St. John the Baptist, born among women. So a really fun way to make him relevant to the family, especially the kids, I recommend making just a simple sheet cake, and you can decorate it with beautiful scallop shells. You can either get, you know, real scallop shell that are cleaned, or you can pretty easily find a chocolate mold for scallop shells. And that scallop shell is, of course, the famous symbol of John the Baptist, right? Many parishes baptize babies with a scallop shell vessel. So the other idea I think is really fun is, I thought of this, in honor of St. John the Baptist, find out the date of your baptism if you don't already know it. All you have to do is call the church where you were baptized, and I find that the parish center gladly looks it up for you. And you can find out that day, you can mark it on your calendar. I once heard a bishop say the day of our baptism is even more important than our birthday.
That's tremendous, outstanding advice. When you think about St. John the Baptist, you think about his courage. I mean, this man had no fear. Loved our Lord so much that it was all about he must decrease and Jesus must increase, paraphrasing his own words.
Sure, that's beautiful. And what a great reminder for all of us.
For us, what else can we learn from St. John the Baptist?
Well, you know, I think treasuring our baptism is so important, and I would encourage everyone, when you find out the day you were baptized, or if you already know it, come up with a wonderful family tradition to celebrate your baptism, maybe even each person in the family. You know, in some cultures, the day of your baptism, they have a special dinner. It's almost like a birthday. So I think it's important to remember we've been baptized, and sort of as you beautifully said, you know, let's also stand like St. John the Baptist did with no fear, to be fearless in our witness to our Lord.
Well, a couple of other saints that had no fear and are really the pillars of our Catholic faith. We're talking about Saints Peter and Paul. In fact, our church is founded on these two great saints. We're going to celebrate their feast on June 29. Saint Peter, the rock, the first pope. Saint Paul, the greatest evangelist of the Gentiles, probably the greatest evangelist of all times. How can we begin to honor these super saints?
Wow. Well, in a month dedicated to fathers, right, kind of coming back to that theme, it's really hard to find more wonderfully paternal saints than Saints Peter and Paul. St. Peter is the original Holy Father, right? The rock on whom Jesus built his church. And I think every good dad wants to think of himself as a rock of support and protection for his family. And then, of course, St. Paul, as you were mentioning so eloquently, he turned his anger into zeal. He was a luminary witnessing to the faith. So I think a fun way to honor them, if we mark our calendar, is let's have an outdoors, if assuming the weather's okay, we'll have an alfresco dinner of fish, right? You could grill the fish. And how perfect if you grill fish, because that's commemorating the famous meal of fish that Peter had with Jesus, cooked over that charcoal fire. Peter, do you love me? You know? And in the center of your table, have candles. And as a centerpiece, display a rock prominently. Now, what I thought would be fun is for the children in your family, you could even have them each search outside for a rock that they could wash, they could bring it in for the table, and they might want to decorate that rock. Kids love to do this, or write their name on the rock, sort of in honor of saying, I want to be strong in my faith, like St. Peter. And then I think, you know, we could read some St. Paul at the dinner table. Maybe 1 Corinthians 13, that famous love is patient, love is kind passage. What a great reminder to our family of what it's really all about.
Absolutely. In fact, maybe you could just go fishing in honor of
Saint Peter. Oh, I love that.
Go fishing.
I love
but
that.
Do it with Saint Peter in mind and take the kids and go fishing. And how fun is that? And just kind of remember what it was like for those apostles along with Saint Peter, the leader of the gang, fishing at the Sea of Galilee.
Oh, it's beautiful.
For sure. There's so many inspirational scriptures from both of these guys. We have a tradition that we're starting here on my show, the power scripture of the Playbook of Life. And today's is from that very first Pope, from St. Peter himself, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. We need, as Catholics, to always be ready, because you never know when someone's going to ask you, why do you believe this? Why do you guys do this? Why do you accept this? We need to be ready, but we need to do it with gentleness and with reverence.
Yes, beautiful.
For sure. For those who are not familiar with your website, can you give us a really quick tour of what you're trying to do with your Annabelle Mosley website?
Sure. You go to tourguideofwonder.com. And I really feel like the tour guide. I like that name because everything comes from our Lord. And I'm just a guide, you know, just pointing out with, you know, sort of saying, I have such wonder and awe for our faith and the treasures of our faith. So tourguideofwonder.com. I have right now available a 33-day consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It starts on the feast day this Friday. It starts on the feast day. You can sign up. Just put
there's
your name
time.
And your email
still
in.
Time.
Yeah, there's still time. It's great.
Great. It sounds great. In fact, I think this is a perfect time these next few days to get on board and to be a part of this 33-day consecration. Again, AnnabelleMosley.com. Annabelle, thank you so much for being with us here on a Monday morning to help us think about some ways in which we can honor our great family of saints here in the month of June.
Oh, it was wonderful to talk with you, John. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much. Annabelle Mosley, award-winning American poet, professor of theology, and the author of 11 books. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Father Paul Canariato will discuss how to consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We'll continue to talk about the Sacred Heart, and we'll have a new Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner a little bit later in the show. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come on this Monday morning edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
On this Monday, June 7th. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, the month of June is traditionally dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, with the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus coming up this Friday, June 11th. One of the many traditions involving the Sacred Heart is a consecration or enthronement of your home and of your heart to the Most Holy Heart of Jesus. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ himself promised to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that I will bless the homes where an image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. If you have a special devotion to the Sacred Heart, in fact, I have this most beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus right here in my office. In fact, right next to me, right next to the microphone, our Lord always reminding me of what's important and why we have this tremendous love and devotion to the Sacred Heart. But if you have a devotion to the Sacred Heart or you've consecrated your home, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. 1-800-273-8149. And now joining us to continue discussing consecration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of our home is Father Paul Canariato, a member of the Morning Air family and the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark. Good morning, Father Canariato. It's great to be with you for the first time as the new host of Morning Air.
Yes, it's good to be with you too this morning. Happy to join you.
Thank you, Father. What a great blessing to be able to talk about our Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to then consecrate our homes as well?
I think before we consecrate our homes, we have to ourselves be consecrated to the Sacred Heart, which means that we have to be familiar with the promises that were made to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. So many wonderful things. And I think that we have to really believe in those promises. So many wonderful things, like, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state in life. I will establish peace in their homes. I will comfort them in all their afflictions. I'll be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. I will bestow abundant blessings upon all their undertakings. Sinners will find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Lukewarm souls will become fervent. Fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. So all the other, there are others, there are 12 of them. I will bless every place in which my image of my heart is exposed and honored. I'll give priests the gift of touching most hardened hearts. Those who shall promote the devotion shall have their names written in my heart. I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that all my powerful love will be given to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays of 9 consecutive months, and the grace of final perseverance. So you can see there's these wonderful promises that were made for those who have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. So certainly, as I reflect on these devotions myself, I feel these promises are very powerful. And so really to be consecrated to the Heart of Christ, to want to have the Heart of Christ in our own lives and to grow in that every day.
And these promises are extraordinary, these promises that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to St. Margaret Mary back in the 1600s. Every one of them, if we could take it, we could meditate on each one of them. I mean, they're quite amazing. And which one of these promises impresses you the most, Father?
Well, I always find the one that I like the best of all of them is that I will give them all the graces necessary in their state and life. The first one. You know, I think that God always provides for us. He gives us all the graces necessary in our lives every day. And he strengthens us every life in our day. It strengthens our life every day. So when we have him in our hearts, when we allow his heart to be joined to our hearts, you know, and he gives us the grace necessary in every moment. I think that's the most important one for me. Because, you know, we always need God's grace every day to do what we need to do in life.
And we're joined by Father Paul Canariato, pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, talking about consecrating our home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Father, one other mm-hmm. promise that I think is quite remarkable. Sinners will find in my heart the source an infinite ocean of mercy. It ties in perfectly with our devotion to the divine mercy in this day and age.
Yes, it certainly does. God is very merciful to us, and he comes to us in all these moments in our life when we need his mercy, when we need his direction, when we need his guidance to help us and to guide us and to show us the way forward in life. You know, God is ever merciful to his people. died on the cross and rose again to give us this new life in the Spirit. So he's there with us at every moment. And to be reminded of that, you know, when you have the image of the Sacred Heart in your home and it's there on the wall in your house, you look at it, you know, from time to time, hopefully, and be aware that, you know, this Jesus is with you at every moment. He's always there bestowing his abundant mercy upon you.
Father Canariato, in fact, I have personally such a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that I buried my dad, who died 15 years ago, with that beautiful image, just a reminder that he is with us forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, beautiful. Jesus is always with us, both in life and in death. We belong to God. And so, in a sense, the heart of Christ joined to our hearts never leaves us. He's always there with us at every moment. And when we do go to him, when we pass from this world to the next, we will, always will be within his heart, always. That's what it is. You know, that's what it means to truly be in heaven, to be with the Lord, is to be within his heart.
Now, assuming that we've consecrated ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, let's talk about consecration of our homes, which can also be a life-changing experience for us and for our families, to really deepen our friendship with Jesus and let his heart be united to ours. Can you talk about what's involved in a consecration of our home?
Well, a few years ago, I did a consecration. A family asked me to come to their house. Do a consecration, and what it is they you obtain a picture of the Sacred Heart, and you invite the priest to come over to your house, and the priest will say various prayers that you participate in, and it's a beautiful ceremony, and then the Sacred Heart is placed upon the wall in your house, and it's just a beautiful ceremony that we go through, various prayers for the consecrating the home to the Sacred Heart and inviting the people then to be part of that.
I want to invite our listeners who may have a special devotion to the Sacred Heart or have had the opportunity to also consecrate their homes and they want to share with us briefly. They can call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. When we consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, would you say that this is one of the ways in which we can help to build up the kingdom of God in our lives and in our families?
Yes, well, Jesus told us, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given to you. And so that, again, is one of the promises of God to us. And so we're called to do that. We're called to make the kingdom of God alive within ourselves. And this is one of the ways, I think, in which we do that in a special way, because, again, that ties back to the promises where, that God will help us to deepen our friendship with him. Jesus will help us to deepen our friendship with him. God makes wonderful things happen in our lives when we unite ourselves to him, when we consecrate ourselves to him. You know, we're giving him permission to work in our lives. You know, Mother Teresa used to say, give God permission to work. And when we give God permission to work in our lives, he does marvelous things, so when we do the consecration, we can just stand back and watch God work and help us in all the different areas of our lives and to help us in various ways. So if you're having some difficulties in your life, if you're having some challenges, consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart and really give God permission to work. And then you'll see some wonderful things start to happen and the kingdom of God begin to grow deeper within your heart.
Father Canariato, as we went over the various 12 promises of our Lord to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. One of the promises is, I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. Again, talk about how beautiful it is to have that image of the Sacred Heart in a prominent place when you walk into that home and you see it, perhaps in a frame in the living room or in a hallway, somewhere where people can see it and say, hey, these people are Catholic.
Yes, that's very, it's a great way of showing how proud we are to be Catholic and to recognize that fact, and that, you know, that the heart of God is exposed, and so in a sense, it's a great opportunity to be a living witness of Jesus in the world today. We're called to be living witnesses of Jesus in the world today. You know, God is so good. You know, he says that in the 12th promise, my divine heart shall be their safe refuge in their last moment, that God will provide for us all the way through our life. And even at the end, he's going to give us the grace to be able to have the sacraments. He's going to give us the grace to continue to grow in our lives. You know, to be a living witness of Jesus in the world today is so important. And so when we enthrone the heart in our homes, we can proclaim to all that not only that we're proud to be Catholic, but that about the power of God at work. And it can also become an opportunity maybe for us to talk to people and be a living witness of the faith to those who come into our homes to visit us.
Father, we have the promises of St. Margaret Mary, but one of the beauties of this devotion is the image itself. Can you talk briefly about how beautiful this image is, how the Sacred Heart is depicted with thorns and the cross and the fire at the heart of Jesus?
Yes. And when you see the image of the Sacred Heart, you're viewing, he's pointing to his heart. And so you're drawn right immediately to the center, where there's a heart that's going with a crown of thorns and fire coming out. The fire of divine love is there burning with love for us and beating with love for us and helping us on our journey. And Jesus is pointing to that. He's going to say, look, here's my heart, which I give to you. My heart is given to your heart. And that's what I always think of when I look at the image of the Sacred Heart. You know, it's a statue or it could be an image. My heart is there for you.
At the end of the day, the purpose of our spiritual life is to grow in friendship with God and in friendship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you talk about how having this devotion to the Sacred Heart can help us to further be intimate with our Lord, along with getting to know him through sacred scripture and through all the many other tools, the plenitude of the faith that we have as Catholics?
Sure. And as Catholics, we have so many wonderful resources at our disposal. We have a whole, we can develop a full life of prayer. In fact, we're encouraged to pray with the scriptures and to read the scriptures and to pray with them. We're called to be devoted in so many ways to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can do that in so many ways, by, for example, praying the rosary or praying with the scriptures or the various novenas or devotions that we have available to us. And in our own, just being able to just sit and talk with Jesus in our own words and to speak to his heart and pour out from our own hearts all our concerns and all our needs and also even to pray, also to praise him and to thank him for who he is in our lives. And so that's always an important thing to do. So as Catholics, we have a wonderful opportunity to deepen our life with God through the various devotions and prayers and opportunities we have each day, certainly and most especially uniting ourselves with the Lord in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Well, Father Canariato, thank you so much for joining us here on Morning Air on this Monday morning to talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and consecrating our home. I appreciate it very, very much.
God bless you and all our relevant radio family. Thank you.
Thank you. Father Paul Canariato, a member of the Morning Air family and the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark. And now it's time for another Monday edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Boy's Best Friend. Bryson Kleiman's a diehard Pokemon fanatic. And when his siblings won't play with him, his dog Bruce is always up for a game. Usually my brother and sister play together, and I don't have anybody to play with, so I usually play with him, meaning Bruce, said Bryson as he talked with WCYB-TV. But when he learned his puppy had fallen ill and needed treatments that his family couldn't afford, Bryson took matters into his own hands. While I'm at school, I get a text message with a picture of him and a sign on the side of the road selling Pokemon cards, according to his mom, Kimberly Woodruff. Kimberly posted the picture online to help get the word out. She later made a GoFundMe page with a goal of $800, but the donations exceeded $5,000. After a week of treatment for canine parvovirus, Bryson was reunited with Bruce. He has more vaccine appointments, but he's doing great, like amazing, Kimberly said. But Bryson's kind act didn't just get the attention of people around the world, it also caught the attention of Pokemon employees based in Bellevue, Washington. They sent the diehard Pokemon fanatic a package of rare Pokemon cards that are hard to find in stores. They even sent a letter of appreciation that read, "Hey Bryson, we're so inspired by your story about selling your cards for your dog's recovery. These are some cards to help you replace the ones you had to sell." The additional money that was raised in the fundraiser will go toward medical expenses for other sick animals in Southwest Virginia. From John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
And thanks so much, Glenn. I think that that is the essence of our mission as Catholic Christians, to love one another.
Amen to that. Absolutely. And, you know, if we look around and use our creative brains and spirits a little bit, we'll come up with some unique ways that will make a difference.
Absolutely. That is job number one. Thanks, Glenn. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to continue to talk about Sunday's gospel and sports as a metaphor for life with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. And Professor Harry Kramer will explain the difference between being a Sunday Catholic and an everyday Catholic. Stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues. There's much more to come next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.